Praise the Lord, you're on the air. You're on the air with the doctor. It's the Dr. G.W. Hodges up in the windy city of Flint, Michigan, sitting here on this Sunday beautiful, this Monday beautiful morning. I'm forgetting what day it is. I'm just sitting back thinking today as I was just had a great day in service yesterday. I thank God for Jesus. He allowed me to see a Sunday morning to be able to proclaim a word to the masses. Amen. But it was a message that I had proclaimed on yesterday that got me thinking on today. The word for yesterday was, what was the message yesterday? Oh, the message yesterday was entitled Broaden Your Horizons. I was in the book of Genesis, the 13th chapter, dealing with Abraham and Lot. Amen. And how what God had to do on his behalf. But as I was sitting back thinking, as I like to do, as I go over a passage of scripture, I like to go back and kind of meditate upon the word a little later. And it was something that was spoken in the sermon that allowed me to make me want to talk about today. So what happened was, this was around the 14th verse of chapter 13 of Genesis. Amen. God had been quiet with Abraham. In other words, God hadn't spoke to Abraham in a minute. God told Abraham in the prior chapter that he was to go and to leave his kindred, his family, his loved ones, everything he knew. He was to leave it all behind and was to go to a place where God was going to send him. Amen. And so Abraham packed up his family. He picked up his wife. He packed up his things. But Abraham also packed up his nephew. Now, honestly, Abraham was being disobedient because God never told him to take Lot with him. But it was something about Lot which made Abraham wanted him to take him with him. My understanding of it, or my take on the scripture, is that although Abraham was being obedient to the mostly of what God was saying, Abraham was trying to take a piece of his past into his future. Amen. And I'm not trying to jump on Abraham, because many of us do the same thing. We want to take certain peoples and certain ways and old ways and things of that nature from our past. And sometimes we like to try to take it with us to our future. But as I got on in chapter 13, in the prior verses of 14, it says that Abram's people and Lot's people began to have an altercation one with another. And so Abraham went to Lot and told Lot, listen, Lot, you know, I don't want any bad blood to be between us, in other words. So what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to separate. We got to cut this thing off, because y'all are beginning to become a hindrance. Amen. And let me put a pen right there for a moment. See, anytime you try to take your past into your future, your past will become a hindrance. Anytime you're trying to take your history into your destiny, and then your history will become a hindrance. And see, what you have to understand is that your history and your destiny a lot of time has a conflict with one another. Well, where do I get that from? Well, the Bible teaches that the old man, which is the flesh, and the new man, which is the spirit man, they war one with another. So the flesh dislikes the spirit, and the spirit dislikes the flesh. So therefore, they're constantly battling one another because they don't get along. They both want what they want. The spirit wants what's well for the soul, where God is trying to take you futuristic. That's what the spirit man wants. The spirit man wants greater. The fleshly man wants anything. The fleshly man is only wanting things that's good to the flesh, things that make you feel good. You got to understand that everything that makes you feel good is not necessarily good. And so that was the thing. That's the spiritual. That's Bible. So anyway, they started having a war one with another. And so therefore, verse 14, they had decided to separate ways. And so Lot looked at the land which he wanted. And he allowed Lot to choose to go. As long as choose what you're going to do, but you just got to separate from me. And then in verse 14, it says, then God spoke to Abraham. Listen, this is important. He said, then God spoke to Abraham when he separated from Lot. See, sometimes when you are connected to your past so deeply, because evidently there was a love there. He still was in love with his past. And so therefore, he wasn't in tune with his future because he was still in love with his past. Wow. I mean, that makes sense. Think of so many people that goes like that, that does that in relationships today. People will have a horrific, horrible, terrible relationship that they was a part of. It wasn't good for anybody. They're out the relationship physically, but they're still in the relationship mentally. And now they're off with somebody that's treating them in the way that they would love to be treated, but they can't necessarily receive it because they're still remembering how the last person done them. And so now they're taking out on the new person what the old person did. Amen. That's a prime example of trying to bring your history into your destiny. And then you done messed up this relationship because you still stuck on that relationship. And so what we have to learn how to do is we have to learn how to let that thing go. Praise God, somebody. I'm telling you this, but let me tell you this also. It's not easy as it sounds. Letting the thing go is hard to let go of something that has a stronghold on you because you've been accustomed to carrying it. See, we'll carry a load for so long. We're living in abnormal. We've been in abnormal situations for so long to where abnormal becomes normal. And you have people that are living abnormal circumstances, but yet they will, you'll put them in a normal circumstances and they will think that that is abnormal because they've learned to take abnormal and make it normal. Praise God, somebody. You know somebody like that. It's good. They will take a relationship. They'll take, and I use relationship because a lot of time people can relate to relationships, but They've grown up in a broken home. They come for people yell and scream and holler, and they're abusive. They're mentally abusive. They're physically abusive. They're verbally abusive. And so they don't really know how to properly handle problems. So now they get with people that wants to talk. And they're not accustomed to talking unless it's dealing with yelling and screaming and cussing and fussing. And so now they get in a relationship where a person wants to talk, and the first thing they do is become fearful and a lot of times try to break off from it because you want me to talk? We don't talk. Matter of fact, we cuss, we fuss, and we fight. So if we don't cuss and we fuss and we fight, I'm straight because you're doing too much. In all actuality, that's the type of relationship you should really desire to be in because we're going to always see things differently if we came from different backgrounds. We're different people. We're going to see things differently. But we've been accustomed to living a life where people screamed, hollered, cussed, fussed, fight. And so therefore, when they got in a relationship where they're, it's normal and people want to talk, they don't want to be a part of it. And a lot of time they mess the relationship up because they're trying to bring their history into their destiny. So it says that Abraham, God spoke to Abraham after he had separated from Lot. Then when you go on to the 15th verse, he told him to look out. I want you to see this. This is what he told him. See, look out. He said, I want you to look northward. He said, I want you to look north, south, east, and west. He said, as far as you can look, he said, I will give you the land. Wow. But God, I'm not even going to break that down too much right now because that's deep in itself. God never spoke a word to Abram until he disconnected from what had him bound. He was connected to his past. His past was connected to his old life. His old life is where God was trying to deliver him from because he had a new thing that he was about to do with him. But Abram had to break loose himself. See, that's the thing about it is, we want God to break the thing loose. And God says, in this season, you're going to have to break loose yourself. And if you break yourself loose, then I will begin to pour inside of you that in which I have prepared for you, because you showed me that you took the initiative to first do some self-examination. Because when you examine yourself, you notice that something wasn't right. And you notice that your history was starting to get in the way of your destiny. And so therefore you said, listen here, I have to cut you off. Amen. You can't go any further with me, because if I take you any further, amen, you're going to become a detriment. Let's put a pin right there. What we have to understand is your history, check this out, if you're not careful, can forfeit your destiny. Wow. That's deep. That's deep. That's deep. Deep. Praise God, somebody. Your history could actually forfeit your destiny. It could block what God has for you. Because think about it. What would have happened on the flip side of the coin had Abram never broke loose from Lot? He was still trying to take that which he loved, which is his past, into his future. And I know a lot of you people say, well, I'm not trying to take my future. I'm not trying to take my past with me. I can't stand my past. I don't want to be no part of my past. And that might be some of you, but I'm going to be honest. I can relate, because I was stuck there myself and I was trying to pull my past. I was still stuck. I still had memories that reminded me of some of the times that I consider good. See, when I was living in sin, I was enjoying it. I'm going to just be honest. When I lived in sin, I loved every bit of what I was doing. Amen. For the most part. But then it was a lot of things that I didn't enjoy. Like watching my friends die and going to funerals and having mothers crying on my shoulders when I'm 18 and 17 years old, when I'm only a kid myself and I got somebody, mother, coming to me crying, talking about they killed my son, and they're crying and they're riding around with a pistol in their car, and I'm riding around with them, and they're riding down in areas saying why they still living, and it's a hurtful thing. I've had a lot of mothers cry on my shoulder, and I was still a kid. And I could understand it. And so I had a love for the past, but I was trying to bring it into my future. And I felt like I owed my past something. And I didn't owe my past anything. The past had already passed. You've already been paid for. And I had no business, and I was steady trying to bring it over here because I couldn't fully embrace myself. I had to cut myself off from old associations and old individuals and old places and people, places, and things that was associated with my past, because I still had a love for the past. I still had a love for some of my homies that I ran with and did dirt with. But I'm just being honest. Can I keep it real? I still had love for some of my old gang members. I still had love for some of my old partners that we used to do a lot of dirt with. I had love for them. And I really want to see them out of the situation. But trying to carry them in the season when I'm not strong enough won't do anything but wear me down. So what I had to realize is you got to let them go. You got to move forward. And then you get yourself established. Once you get it established and get to the spot where you able to be used and capable of carrying some weight, then you can set up something in order for something to for them to try to get. But it says don't allow your past. Don't allow your past to get in the way of your future. And so, it says God spoke to Abram after Abram cut off his past. I don't know who this is for this morning, but I believe I'm helping somebody today. Because you got to understand, God wants to do some great things for you. He has great things planned on your behalf. But he says, I need you to cut it loose. Because when you cut it loose, God is able to recognize that you come to the point of understanding that my future, watch out now, is more important than my past. My future is more important than my past. Oh wow, that's a mouthful right there. Because see, I'm gonna go on to 15. He told Abram to look out. I'm just gonna give you over. He told him, look out on the land. He said, wherever you can see, I'm gonna make it yours. And Abraham, if I use my spiritual imagination, Abraham was obedient. He looked out. But what you have to understand is he could only see so far. So, with his natural eyes. So, but what God had to, what God was trying to tell him to do is, I need you to look with your spiritual eyes. I want you to look through the eyes of faith. Don't look as far as your eyes can only see you from the natural. I need you to look into the supernatural and imagine in your mind, imagine all of this, praise God, is going to be yours. He said, look north, south, east, and west, everywhere you look, everywhere you try, tread your feet, God has said it's going to be yours. So Abram done it. And then he went on to 16. He told him to look. He said, I want you to see it. Well, let me back up to 15. He wanted him to see it first. Praise God, somebody. He didn't tell him to move first. He told him to look first. When he looked and he was able to see it. Oh my goodness. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, faith, now faith, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, he said, I see it, amen, I believe it before I see it. He see it first in his mental mind. He see it in his eye. He see it in his heart. Amen. And God has something greater for me than my present situation. See, I spoke about the history, but don't you get so caught up on your present situation either, because your present situation still doesn't mean what your future is going to be. You can be in the heart of the ghetto, broke, busted, disgusted, with a crack pipe in your hand, that God can take your life, turn it around, and catapult you from being in the back of the line to being in the front of the line. Praise God, somebody. But you have to have faith that God is yet strong enough to do it. And so, he says, don't let your history, I'm still dealing with this, don't let your history cancel your destiny. And so, 15, he told him to look. 16, he told him to get up and start walking. Now that you saw it, let me see where you at, because he said, go now, I want you to walk this. Let me see what's the limit that you put on me. Because he said, I told you to look east, north, south, east, and west. Then he says, arise, get your butt up and walk. Now, what you're doing now is claiming the land. I saw it. Now it's going to be mad. But guess what? He said, but it's not only for you, it's for your seeds. See, he says, for your children, those that come after you. He said, I'm going to bless you with some seeds. They're going to be blessed. I got to have you a lot of land because it's a lot of them. He said, so, and I'm just giving you an overview. You can go read it yourself. He said, break off from your past and I'll show you your future. 15, he says, look, through the eyes of faith, I'm going to show you what I'm about to do for you. 15, after he told him, if you can see it, it's yours. He told him to get up, start moving. Praise God, somebody. That's a word for somebody, because you're still sitting there. God said, get up and start moving. Nothing can happen when you're stagnated and sitting still. But if you get up and start moving, God can start working on your behalf, because that shows your faith has been activated. Praise God, somebody. Your faith has been activated. So I saw it. I believe it. I didn't just dream it. So now I'm start walking in that in which I've already seen. Praise God, somebody. Then 15, 16, 17 was always. So when he got to 18, which was the last verse, it says that Abram changed. He moved his tent. He moved his dwelling place. He put it in a new location. What Abram realized was, I have to put myself in a position that's conducive to receive what God has for me. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's awesome. He said, I got to put myself in a position that is conducive to receive what God has for me. Abram says, I know his man. I've seen his man. I'm operating his man. Matter of fact, let me show him. Let me move some things around, because I'm getting ready to get in a position where I can receive what God has for me. God has some great things for those who are willing to obey him, step out on faith in him. Trust him at his word. He says, I can do for you what I did for Abram, because Abram set the stage, because he is the father of faith. And when you come underneath the blessings of God, you fall right in line with being a seed of Abraham. And so now God is saying that meant to you, because Abram was the first one who was able to step out in faith and believe. And he said the seeds, and the seeds was to those who was to follow and to come along by faith. Amen. We come this far by faith. And so Abram set the stage, and now you and I are able to receive those same blessings of Abraham that God gave to him. And he says, now, if you are willing to do what Abram done, then I'll allow you to get what Abram got. Amen. You are able to receive an inheritance that you don't even have to go to the extremes that he went, because he've already paved the way. And so all you have to do is just believe. You don't have to do all of the footwork, because all I need you to do is believe, to trust God at his word. Praise God, somebody. You need to trust God at his word. If you step out on faith and just trust God to be God, if you don't use your own mind and your own thinking, Proverbs 3:5-6 said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so, in other words, I can't even lean on my own understanding, because my own understanding is dwarfed. My own understanding is messed up. My own understanding, amen, is limited. But when I can just trust in God and say, God, I'm going to just trust in you. I don't know exactly how you're going to do this thing. I don't know exactly when you're going to do this thing. I don't know exactly by which means you're going to do this thing. But all I believe is that you said it, and I believe that you're going to do it. And so what I'm going to do is that put myself in the right place to as conducive to receive your blessings. Praise God, somebody. That's the word I had for today. Amen. That's just it for this segment. Segment number one. I just want to let somebody, don't let your history block your destiny. Don't let your history block your destiny. You know what it is. Only you know. See, everybody don't have the same thing they're trying to hold on to. You don't have none of those issues I got. You might got some old issues of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. It could be internal issues. You know, it don't have to be anything outside. You have internal issues. And God said, I need you to let them go. I need you to let them go. And he said, if you let them go, you're showing me that you are really trying to get what I got. And I want to do God wants to do some great things on our behalf. He does. God wants to do some great things on our behalf, but he want us to trust him, because he want us to be in a position to be blessed, because when we're blessed, then other people become blessed. See, blessed people bless people. He's not trying to get you to have a bunch of things that you can store up for yourself. And see, God ain't mad. If you want a Bentley, buy a Bentley. If you want a Range, buy a Range Rover. If you want a house on a hill, buy a house on a hill. If you want a boat on the lake, buy a boat on the lake. God don't mind you having things. Don't let nobody fool you thinking God mind you having things. He don't care about you having money in the bank. Amen. Short at what you drink. Amen. He don't, praise God, somebody. I just had to throw a little me up in there. But he doesn't mind you having things. He just mind things having you. Praise God, somebody. So, if God has given you some dreams, he shared with you. Amen. If he got some things he's ready to do with you, trust God. Step out on faith. Move forward. Lean not into thine own understanding. And watch God bless you. Amen. That's the end of this segment for today. I can't end this segment without a word of prayer. So we're going to pray and we get out of here. Father God, we thank you for this session. We thank you for the listeners. We thank you that they came with an open heart and an open mind. God, I ask you to just bring to pass what you promised them. God, I pray that they would cut loose their past and begin to walk into their future. God, I thank you for this and all your many blessings. We ask in your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yes, Hebrews, the second chapter. Amen. I'm going to skip around a little bit and I'm reading. I'm going to read 14. Matter of fact, I'm just going to read 14, 18. Then we just read Hebrews 2,
verses 14 through 18. We all find it, let us stand. Verse 14 to the end of the chapter, chapter 18, Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 14, commencing down to verse 18. Amen. I'm going to read it in the King James, but I'm going to teach it at the ES, at the English Standard Version. Amen. Hebrews, the second chapter, beginning at verse 14. We're going to read down to verse 18 when we have to say amen. 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 For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime were subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is also able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to talk to you all this morning from the subject, He knows what you're going through. Tell your neighbor, he knows what you're going through. My brothers and sisters, those words itself, I don't know how it set with you, but as God gave me the subject, my soul got excited. For the simple fact, he gave me assurance that whatever I'm dealing with, that he knows. That it's nothing that's hidden from God. He knows. He knows your ups and he knows your downs. He knows. He knows your faults. He knows your failures. He knows your strengths. He knows. Everything about you that can be known, he already knows. Praise God, somebody. And I got excited as I was reading it. I read it in the ESV version, and I got even more excited as I read it in the King James version to allow me to know that God, amen, knows about my problem. See, I've learned that through life that individuals are not able to reach me if they never been through what I've been through. The reason I can listen to people that you didn't necessarily have to be through what I've been through, but at least you had to been through something. Amen. Praise God, somebody. That I understand that some people life has been lovely. And from beginning to end, it's been just great days. But I need to talk to somebody who came through some struggles through life, that had some down days, some trying times, some times they thought about throwing in the towel, but yet and still they made it. I need some folks like that to talk back to me, because now I know you know where I'm coming from. Praise God, somebody. And Jesus, the only way that he could able to understand where we was coming from, he had to come down to this earth and go through what we went through. Amen. Praise God, somebody. And as I read the text, I was enlightened and I got excited, because as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, amen, Jesus had already came. He already walked out his ministry, but he's gotten to the point, amen, in his ministry for Palm Sunday, amen, where he was about to bring everything he came here on the earth for to fruition. That he had to come, because although he came down
42 generations, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger, and he walked the earth amongst his brethren, and he showed himself to them, and they still didn't want to believe who he said he was. Amen. He still knew the only reason he came to the earth was to go to the cross. Praise God, somebody. And he understood that I'm here for a purpose and I'm here on a mission. And so he was on his journey, amen, on the Palm Sunday. He was headed into Jerusalem. And as he was coming into Jerusalem, he was riding on the back of the donkey. Praise God. Y'all, I hope I got some Bible readers in here today. It's in the Gospels. It's in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Amen. Y'all didn't go read it over John. They got it, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But he came in, John, he got it. But he came in on the back of a donkey. And when he came in, the people were so excited because the Savior is coming. And I get excited because I don't know. I told you I got a man that allows me to see it. Amen. I'm in Jerusalem right now. Amen. I don't know where y'all live, but I'm in Jerusalem in my mind. And I see the people being excited that somebody done spread the word. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and the people began to get hopeful, and they began to feel good, and they started running out to the road. Amen. Come on, I got some Bible readers in here today. And as he said, it came with the palm branches in his leaf, and they laid it down at his feet, and they laid it out on the road, and as they was trying to praise God, the people was trying to hush them up. Y'all know what I know. Y'all see the Bible. Y'all know y'all Bible. And as they tried to hush them up, amen, Jesus hushed them up. Come on now. He says amen. He says amen. Let them alone. Let them alone. They got to praise me. And that's why when we started praise service a while ago, I didn't try to move forward when praises was being rendered because I said, let them alone. Yes. Praise God, somebody. Because praise is in the atmosphere. That if they don't praise me, even the rocks will start crying. If they pass, ain't no rocks in here. If they don't praise them, the chairs will start praising them. If they don't praise them, the walls will start praising them. If y'all better talk to me this morning. God says, I'm going to get my praise regardless. So I couldn't get so in a tizzy to start the service because service already started when the praises was being rendered. I knew I was in the right place at the right time because I know that God is in the building. Do somebody testify with me on this morning. Praise God, somebody. I feel him in the atmosphere. It's something about when the saints of God get together and we sung, what a time, what a time, what a time. When we all come together on one accord, I bring what I got, you bring what you got, she bring what she got, he bring what he got, and it all comes together. And God uses every little bit to handle the big picture. Praise God, somebody. And I got down to the sum. It's over the writer of the book of Hebrews, and it got in. It was in the 11th verse, what kind of caught my eyes first. It says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. Praise God, somebody. I got excited because I understand it don't matter what position that you in, amen, in the body of Christ, we all have one source. And my source is your source. I hope so. Amen. And your source is my source. And I hope so. And he understands. He says, who sanctified and those who are sanctified, talking about us, we all have praise God, somebody. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. He's whole. He's all one. Somebody talk to me this morning. And he says, we all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Praise God, somebody. God says, I know who they is. I saved them. I made them out of the dirt. I made them out of the clay. I blew into the nostrils the breath of life. I know where they came from. I'm the one who went and got them from the places they was located and brought them out of there and brought them into my marvelous light. He says, I know them. Amen. I know where they past. I know they present. I know they future. And I ain't ashamed to call them my brothers and my sister. Somebody talk to me this morning. I ain't ashamed of where they came from. I know where they came from. I'm the one who went and got them, and I'm not a y'all. I get excited. He's not ashamed. Praise God, somebody. And see, the devil will start trying to make you feel shameful for where you've been and shameful for the things that you've done and shameful for the places that you've been. But God says, I'm not ashamed. Amen. Somebody talk to me this morning. And if he's not not ashamed, we shouldn't be ashamed either. Amen. Paul wrote over in the book, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, amen, of Jesus Christ. Somebody can testify this morning that I'm not ashamed to say who that I am. Praise God. I'm not ashamed to say who that I am. I'm telling you who that I am all because I know whose that I am. Amen. I understand that I came from the muck and the mire. I understand that I was made out of the mud. I understand that my life been in turmoil. My life been upside down. But I thank God that he saw something in me that I couldn't even see in myself. Do I got somebody to testify this morning? And he saw something in me, little old me, out of all the people in the world, you chose little old me. Amen. I thank God for Jesus that he chose little old me. He says that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. And I would tell you your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I would sing your praises. Amen. I would sing the praises of how good you've been. And again, I would put trust in him. Put trust in who? I would put trust in the Lord. Amen. I have to put my trust in him. Amen. Because to him, he's the one who all belongeth. He's the one who jointly fit the earth together. He's the one who owns the earth. He's the one, the creator of all things. Does that make sense to somebody this morning? And he says, I would put my trust in him. Amen. Who better to put your trust in? Amen. But God, amen. You can't put your trust in me. Amen. Please don't put your trust in me. Amen. I'm trustworthy. Don't get me wrong, but I'm still human. Amen. I can fall in error sometimes. So you will be foolish to put all of your trust. I mean, you can put a little of your trust, but don't put all your trust because I don't know. Amen. Because in this flesh, one day I might wake up and be in the wrong spirit, in the wrong mindset, in the wrong behavior. And if you put your trust in me, I go down and you go down also. But if you put your trust in God, praise God, somebody. And even when it looks messed up, even when it don't seem like you're going to make it out, even when you can't tell what's going on, if you just trust in him. And I learned to trust him. I don't know about y'all. I learned to trust him in the dark times. Amen. See, that's when you need him the most, when it's dark out. See, I don't really need no help when it's light. Praise God. I don't know about y'all. See, I came out of Mississippi. Amen. And when it gets dark down there, it gets dark. Amen. You must try to get out there and the light get cut off. You be a little afraid. Amen. Because it's dark outside. And that's when the darkness says, God says, when you're in darkness, that's when you need some help. Praise God. And that's why I understand that even when it's dark, I can't really see my way through. And that's what God allows to happen sometimes for us to get in a position where we can't see our way through. Amen. And all we got to do is just put our hand in his hand. And he says, don't you worry about coming out. All I need you to do is just follow me. Praise God, somebody, man. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. He says, behold, I and the children of God have given me. Then he gets to verse 14. I'm almost done. I'm not going to keep us long. He says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. What's that? He took on the same flesh and blood that through his death he might destroy the one that has the power of death. That is the devil. That the only way he could be able to get the devil, because the devil was down here messing with God's folks. And amen, he says, hey, I've sent other folks before me, and they was able to only do so much, and they didn't even have no respect for me. And he says, what I got to do is I'm going to have to go down there myself. See, some problems get too big. What I say, don't send a boy to do a man's shot. That something just got to be done. I got to do this thing myself. That I did send my servants. They tried. They was faithful. They didn't want to see him. They killed me. Says, but I got to send myself. That the only way I'm going to get it better, that I'm going to wrap myself up in somebody, get myself in the flesh, walk in the earth, be tempted in the same fashion that my folks been tempted. And I'm going to look the devil in his face and say, devil, you a lie. You already been defeated. Praise God, somebody. He says, look, he says, for as much as the King James, he says, being as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same manner. He went through the same thing. Amen. He knows what you're going through. The reason that he can empathize with you is because I've been through what you're going through. Amen. I don't know about you that if you ain't never lost nothing, amen. I saw something on Facebook the other day. He said, don't try to tell folks that you know what they're going through. You've never been through what they've been through. Don't tell me that you know how I feel like, amen, if I've been starving and you always had something to eat. Don't tell me that you know what I've been with, that I was sick and I didn't have money to go to the doctor and all I had was the prayers of the saints. Amen. Don't you tell me when you had good and shit. Praise God. Somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. He says, so therefore, amen, you can't tell me nothing. He says, but God can tell you everything, because everything you ever desire, amen, to endure on this earth, he's already been through it. And praise God, somebody. He says, and likewise, he took part of the same. That through death, he might destroy death. Praise God, somebody. Ain't that some stuff? That through death, he might destroy them. Because you got to understand that we was created never to die. That when he created man was not created to die. But when sin came in the earth, death entered the earth also. And the devil thought he won because of that slick move he pulled over in the Garden of Eden. And he got the serpent to fall short with the first Adam. But the second Adam came and said, I got this thing under control. That you caught him slipping. But I ain't going out that way. Somebody talk to me on this morning. Praise God. And he says, I got the good man. He says he endured death in order to conquer death. Amen. And so man, and that was the final thing right there. Then death came, sin into the earth, and then death came, and now people became afraid because eternal beings has now got to go to this place called death where we wasn't designed for us. But he said, guess what? Let me go and get this thing called death under control. And that's why when I get saved in Christ Jesus, as long as I'm living and I get saved and I accept him as my Lord and Savior, when I got blood running through my veins, when I die, I yet live. Praise God, somebody. And that's why you can be like you said in Corinthians. Oh, death, where is that sin? That you can't do anything to me, because what you're trying to do to me, my God is already taken care of. Come on now. Somebody, and that's why I ain't got to be afraid to die. I don't be afraid of death, amen, because I understand that when I die, I'm going to meet my Savior. Face to face. See, that's why we get excited, and that's why the world can't understand your excitement, because I'm excited not to die, but I'm excited when I die, I'm going to yet begin to live and get to see the one who died for me, who died in my place, the death that I should have died. I'm going to get to meet the one that died for me. Praise God, somebody. I don't know about y'all. He's my hero. Praise God, somebody. That folks always looking for heroes in the world today. That Jesus is my hero. Because he went through what I should have went through. But he saw something in me when I wasn't even his friend. That he says, I'll go send me. That they don't know what they doing. They're not strong enough. They're not wise enough that I'll go on their behalf. Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve, that he'll go, that he already went. And he says that he came, amen, that he might destroy him that had the power of death. Who is that? The devil. That I got to get old Snoop with that. He thought he'd been doing the thing. He'd been slithering around for too long. That he thought he had everything under control. And he says, I got to come and get this thing back together. Yeah. Praise God, somebody. I'm excited. He knows what you're going through. He said, let me go through it first. That you've been fearful. And you my child. I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I gave you the power of love. And, y'all, praise God. In a sound mind. I didn't give you the spirit of fear. Oh, you afraid of death? But let me look death in the eye. Death, what you going to do? You can't kill me because I'm life. And life has more power over death. Praise God, somebody. I said, life has no power over death. He says, let me look death in the face, because death, here I come. You can't do nothing with me because I am life. heard him say it this morning, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No man comes to Father except by me. That the only way I'm here today is by the grace of God. And that I ain't got to worry about it. He says that don't worry about it. In this earth, you're going to go through all types of things. He said, but be of good cheer, because I've already overcome the world. And since he's already overcame, that's why he calls me an overcomer. I can overcome all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, somebody talk to me on this morning that I'm an overcomer, that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's what my Bible told me, that I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. That there's nothing that's going to get me. Why? Because he's already know what I'm going through. Tell your neighbor, he knows what you're going through. He knows what your girl. He says in verse 16, I said, let me hurry up and get up out of here. He says, for verily he took not on him, amen, the danger of angels. And let me get over here. And I like what he says. He says, for surely it's not of angels that he helps, but he helps the offsprings of Abraham. Praise God. Let me read that again. He says, for surely it is not of angel that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. I said, let me repeat that one more time. He said, for surely it is not of angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. I'm getting excited this morning. I repeated it 3 times because somebody needs to know it. What's that, Pastor? Help is on the way. Praise God. Somebody should get excited this morning because help is on the way. Mayday, mayday. Oh, calling on Christ. He says, help is on the way. Praise God, somebody. He's on the way. He's on the way. All you got to do is just trust me. He's on the way. That he's working. And while he's know what you're going through, he heard your cry of distress. And he wanted to let you know this morning that he's on the way. Praise God, somebody. See, we can get a little more happy. It's one thing to know when you're in darkness by yourself, but it's another thing that knows that help is on the way. When you find out help is on the way, you get a little more confident. I know it's going to be all right. Why? Because my help is on the way. I'm going through right now, but my help is on the way. I'm dealing with some situations right now, but my help is on the way. Why you still not crying and you shout? The reason I shout in the midst of my adversity is because my help is on the way. Oh, praise God, somebody. My help is on the way. 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 I feel good this morning. He said, my help is on the way. Praise God, somebody. He says, it's not of angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. That I'm a joint heir of the king. That I'm a seed of Abraham. And he promised Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. Oh, praise God, somebody. That's why I told you, you better watch out how you treat me, because I'm a child of the Most High God. And if you want things already, your life, you better try to treat me right, because he'll bless who blesses me. Y'all better talk to me this one. If you call yourself bringing a curse, you will curse your whole situation. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but somebody know what I'm talking about this one. You better not mess with me. Praise God, somebody. I told you I get a little excited. I feel good on this morning. He said, help is on the way. He said, I'll bless him. That everybody that looked out for you, he says, I'm going to look out for them. Matter of fact, I'm the one who set them in your path. It wasn't no accident that you ran up on them in your time of need. He said, I placed them right there because I'm your provider. And what I did is I knew what you was going to go through before you went through it. And I just wanted to let you know, since you're my child, I put it right there for you to see. And so now you said, I need some help. But I already knew you was going to cry before you cried. So I put the ram in the bush. Praise God, somebody. He says, I said it there for when you get there. He says, I've already preordained for it to occur. He knows what you're going through. Praise God. I said, let me hurry up. I say, let me hurry up. He says, therefore he made to be like his brothers, in every aspect, so that he might become merciful and faithful, a high priest. Praise God, somebody. That's why a lot of people stay away from ministry, because they understand when I say yes, Lord, that I'm signing up for some stuff to come my way. Because the way I gotta use you in ministry is that you gotta first go through some misery. And so a lot of folks don't wanna go through the first part. They just want the last part. But God says they go both together. They go hand in hand. And a lot of people stay away from ministry because ministry saying, God, I'm signing up to go through some heartache and pain. I'm signing up to be separated from a lot of folks. I'm signing up to be broken in all type of aspects. But like I told you in the beginning, he said the reason why I break you, the reason why I allow you to be broken, it wasn't to destroy you. It was only because I wanted to pour something inside of you. And what I wanted to put inside of you was life, the gift of life that's going to last for eternity. And he says, I put the anointing in you, and I put the anointing on you, that you've been anointed and appointed to do the works of the Lord. He said, but you gotta first go through some things. You're gonna have to cry some late nights. You're gonna lose some friends. You're gonna have some family members that cut you off. He says, but I'm gonna be by your side. I'm not gonna leave you by yourself. I promise never to leave you. I promise never to forsake you. I had to get all the stuff out your way so you can look unto the hill. For whence cometh to your help? All my help comes from the Lord. I gotta get a testimony down in your soul. I got a reason to praise him. Praise God, somebody. I said, I got a reason to praise him. I got a reason. I got a reason. I got a reason. I said, let me hurry up. I just feel good on this morning because I got a reason. I got a reason to praise him. He said he became merciful and faithful. He says, I had to endure this. So you got to understand the people who they put there. He says, when you sign up, that's why a lot of people don't even want to be leaders. Because the leaders is the one who got to take the lumps. Praise God, somebody. A lot of folks don't want to be leaders because leaders got to take the lumps. That even though you was the one that tried everything that you could, and they'll praise you when it's going good, but as soon as it go bad, you got to take that also. Why? Because it comes with the job. When you sign up for the occupation, you got to know what you're getting yourself into before you get yourself into it. And when you say, God, here I am, he says, do you really know what you're saying? You say, God, here I am. He says, I know you said it, but I want to make sure that you know what you're saying. You say, God, here I am. He said, okay, since you called it, that I've been calling you from the very beginning. He says, I'm about to allow you to go through some stuff. Praise God. See, he says, I had to go through it. That's the only way I can talk to him. And that's why a lot of times, like when we can go downtown and the people can relate to what I'm talking about, the reason they can relate is because I let them know I've been where you at. And it was nothing but by the grace of God. That's why I told you we can't get snooty. We can't get high-minded. We can't get beyond ourselves just because Jesus done brought us out. He says, I brought you out, but I need you to go back. I need you to go get them. Somebody's still waiting on you. They waiting on you in your family. They waiting on you on your job. They waiting on you in your neighborhood. They just waiting on you. You come, but you waiting on Jesus. But Jesus says, I'm waiting on you. Praise God, somebody. I say, he's waiting on you. He said, that job is for everybody, that every child of God. He says, go therefore and make some disciples. He says, compel them to come on into the house, because everything that you need is already in the house. I'm looking for some money to pay my bills. He says, it's in the house. I'm going through some situations right now. He said, it's in the house. I ain't got no peace. He said, it's in the house. He said, don't nobody love me. It's in the house. I ain't got no friends. It's in the house. Oh, somebody talk to me this morning. That everything I need is in the house. house. I said, it's in the house. The reason I know is because I'm in the house. I used to be outside, but now I'm in the house. And I thank God for Jesus because he allowed me to come in the house. Y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about this one. It's in the house. It's in the house. If you're looking for love, it's in the house. If you're looking for peace, it's in the house. If you're looking for joy, it's in the house. If you're looking for salvation, it's in the house. Whatever you need, it's in the house. I'm so glad that I'm a child of God. I'm so glad he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. He gave me the strength to fight. I'm so glad it's in the house. Praise God, somebody. It's in the house. 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 All you need is in the house. Thank you, Jesus. I got one more verse. I got to go. I got to get up out this thing. He said, because he himself has suffered. When he was tempted, he is able now to help. Those who being tempted also. Praise God, somebody. Yo, y'all, help him get him beside himself. He said, because he himself has already suffered. You haven't went through nothing yet. He said, he already been through. I've already been where you at. I was at the point of despair myself. Although I came to the earth to die for your sins, on my way to the cross, my flesh kicked in. And I said, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup away from me. But then he turned back around and he says, not my will, but thy will be done. I know what I came to do. I gotta do the will of my day. I gotta lift up the name of Jesus. He knows what you're going through this morning. He said, just turn it over to Jesus. I said, just turn it over to Jesus. I said, just turn it over to Jesus. And stop worrying about it. He says, I know what you're going through. I'm ready to fix it. Jesus will fix it if you just give it unto him. I said, he will fix it this morning. He will fix it this morning. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad. Is there any glad folks in here this morning?
Yeah.
I said, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. As I look on back, I told you I'm in Jerusalem, but now I'm looking at Calvary. I'm down at Calvary this morning. I'm looking at my Lord and my Savior. They whooped him with 39 save one, with 40 save one. They got him bleeding on the cross. They can hardly tell who he is. He's been torn and tattered. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They pierced him in his side. You don't know what he did on that morning. He died for the sins of the world. He died for your sins and for mine. But it didn't stop there. Praise God, somebody. I said, it didn't stop there. I said, they laid him down in a borrowed tomb. I'm at Calvary. Why y'all doing that to my Savior? Why y'all doing that to my Savior? Why are we doing it to my Savior? I'm sorry, Jesus. I participated. I was one of the same ones that said, crucify him. I was one of the same ones. But you stepped down the road and you saw a sinner like me, and you knew I was going to need a Savior. I'm so glad this morning. I said, I'm so glad this morning that he went down to the borrowed tomb and laid him down, and they thought it was over. They was going to celebrate. We done got them, we won. And they thought they had won. Friday evening, they were celebrating. We got them, the guy that was in our way. Saturday morning, they got up and still celebrating. Oh, we got them. Saturday evening, they still celebrating. We got that rascal. He been in our way, he out our way. But sometime between Saturday night and Sunday morning, somebody talk to me this morning. We got up out the grave with all life with Jesus because he died. He died that we may live. He rose on the third day. That's what we get ready to celebrate. He rose. He's a risen Savior. Why are you looking for him amongst the dead? He's not dead. He's alive. You got to tell somebody. He's not dead. He is alive. I serve a living Savior. I serve a risen Savior. I serve my Jesus.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yes, he does.
He knows.
Thank you, Jesus.
What you're going through.
Thank you, Lord.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah,
thank
Jesus.
You,
woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Bless, oh God, bless.
I know that he is living.
Bless, oh God.
Whatever men may say.
Bless, oh God.